Welcome to church.
We are so glad that you're here.
And we want you to know that when you walk through our doors today,
you didn't just walk into a building.
You walked into a family.
And regardless of who you are,
where you came from,
or what you look like,
you are welcome here.
Because at this church, we believe that God is love.
And that He is in the business of rekindling lost passions,
restoring broken dreams, and filling empty lives.
At this church, we believe that life in Christ is not a formula of rules and laws,
but a moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus.
And His love is infinite and everlasting,
without pretense or condition or discrimination.
At this church, we can't stand religion,
but we love God.
And if you're not quite sure what the difference is yet,
we can't wait to show you.
We're glad you joined us today.
Welcome to church.
Minister, you are dismissed. And thank you so much, praise team. What an awesome, incredible time of worship that it was. As I approached God's pulpit this morning, I say once again to you, may the grace of God the Father and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be multiplied in your lives. As we come here this morning, we once again are continuing in our current series about finding Christ in the wilderness tabernacle. Each week, as we've gone through this series, you've noticed that we have up in the front of the sanctuary a mock-up of that tabernacle. We would like to say that we have found the labor.
Amen.
We found the labor. And I'd like to apologize for all the kids because it actually slid up inside the tent while we were moving things around there. So, all the kids came to me personally and said, Pastor Larry, I didn't do that. And we found the labor. And what a great and wonderful thing it is. Today we come to part four, talking about the labor and Christ, our sanctification. If you have the Word of God in either printed or digital format all over the sanctuary, please hold up your Bibles for me. Thank you so much. It is a wonderful, incredible thing that we are allowed to have the Word of God in His house. Today is all about the Word of God. And at the end of today's service, I am going to ask for a rededication in all of our hearts that we would commit ourselves to reading more and investing more in the Word of God. We're going to have a call to the altar. And this is a call just to come and stand and say, Lord, I present myself to You and I dedicate my life to the Lord Jesus, but I dedicate myself to reading Your Word daily. And all God's people said.
Amen.
Now, as we've been going through this series, I want you to remember, and I'm going to go through this one more time like I do every week and every Wednesday. The wilderness tabernacle is a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was in shape rectangular, 75 feet wide by 150 feet long, about one-third larger than this sanctuary. On the eastern side, it had a 30-foot wide opening, the gate that people would come through. As they came into, if we can bring these up on the slides, as they came through the gate, the first thing that they came to was the brazen altar, the altar of sacrifice. And we talked last week about that, that there is more to come after the sacrifice, but nothing to do before you come to that sacrifice. We all come into the Father's presence through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified on the cross. As you continued on into the wilderness tabernacle, you came next to the laver, which we will be talking about today, a symbol of the Word of God. It was filled with water. And in Scripture, when you see water, it's talking about, or washing of the water, it's talking about the washing by the Word of God. And we're going to see all about that today. So we're going to be in this passage today. We're going to be using our Bibles a lot. After I give the third point today, don't slam your Bibles or put them away. There's a lot more Scripture to come. And then as you walk forward, you came to the actual tent, as you see it up here. That tent was 15 feet wide overall and 45 feet long, about the distance from me right here to the back wall. And it was 15 feet wide, which means it was about 6 inches wider on each side than this center section that you guys are sitting in. And so the first 30 feet, within that first 30 feet, there were three more pieces of furniture as you came inside there. The first one that you would notice as you came inside there, there we go, to the south on your left was the golden lampstand. And that's all about Christ is our light. He is the light of the Lord. He gives light into our hearts. He brings the light of us and Himself into the presence of God. On the north side was a table of showbread. Christ is our sustenance. He is the bread of life to us. He is our very heart and soul. As you continued on, as you got to the back of that inner sanctuary, that first 30 feet, about where this young lady's sitting right back here in the middle, now that I've pointed her out and embarrassed her in front of the whole church, right about that distance, we came to the incense, the altar of incense, which represents the prayers going up before the nostrils of the Lord. Sweet aroma, pleasing in His nostrils, talking about the supplication of Christ. Then, about where these chairs end, was the veil. And on the other side of that veil was the Holy of Holies that Miss Melanie sang about so beautifully last week. And inside that Holy of Holies was two pieces of furniture. One was the Ark of the Covenant. Inside the Ark of the Covenant were three items. Those three items were, there was a jar of manna, there was the rod of Aaron that had budded. And by the way, that rod of Aaron, remember this, that rod of Aaron was acacia wood, also known as almonds. And you're going to learn next week why that is so very important. And there was also the Ten Commandments, the first part of the Book of the Covenant. Above the ark was the mercy seat. And we've known, as I've spoken many times in the past, that while the law of the Lord was in the Ark of the Covenant, though His law is there, the law demands that we die for our sins. But the mercy seat is right above it. And when the tabernacle was completed, the Bible says at the very end of the book of Exodus that the Shekinah glory, the presence of the Lord, came and filled the tabernacle. And it hovered above that mercy seat. And the only thing protecting us from the law of God is the mercy that He has for us. And He must pour out His mercy in our lives before He can pour in the grace that He wants to give us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that just good stuff? So today, if you are at Exodus chapter 30, Exodus chapter 30 is our primary verse this day. Exodus chapter 30, verse 17. If you are there, please say, Amen. Today I have 3 points to our message today. But please follow me along. Follow along with me as we go through this passage. If you have a church pew Bible, if you're a visitor, it is on page 97 of your Bible. I didn't give you what page it was on my Bible, but it is on page 97 of the pew Bibles. Exodus chapter 30, verses 17 and through 21. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I'm going to pause right there briefly. When we move to do things for the Lord, we need to know that it is the Lord speaking. We need to know that it is, thus saith the Lord. All of the things that went into the building of the tabernacle were done according to what God told Moses. If you don't believe that, look quickly. Right there it says in verse 17, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, talking about the laver, talking about the anointing oil. Verse 22, moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying. If you want to talk about the incense, look down at verse 34. And the Lord spoke to Moses, or the Lord said to Moses. Chapter 31, verse 1, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying. Then it's talking about the Sabbath law, and it says, verse 12 of chapter 31, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying. We want to make sure that when we move, it is based upon thus saith the Lord. Continuing on in today's passage, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, You shall also make a laver of bronze, with its base also of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet in water from it. When they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. and it shall be a statute forever to them, to him, speaking of Aaron, and his descendants throughout their generations. May the Lord add his blessings upon his word. The first point I want to bring to you today of the three parts that we have is that, number one, is we want to look at the parts of the labor. If we move to our first point, please, the parts of the labor. Verse 18 says that it was made of bronze. We've learned already that bronze is a symbol of the judgment in the Bible. It's a symbol of the judgment of God against sin. Whenever you see bronze, King James Version, you may see brass, but it is a symbol of judgment in the Bible. But it is a source of this bronze that is just remarkable today. I want you to hold your place here. Please flip over to Exodus chapter 38. Exodus chapter 38, if you will, please. Exodus chapter 38 and verse 8. If you are there, please say amen. Listen to this. He made the laver of bronze and its base of bronze from the bronze mirrors of the serving women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. This means that these mirrors were not made of glass. They were made from the bronze mirrors of the ladies. The ladies' mirrors. Now truly, this is a place in the Bible where you can believe in miracles. Because these women were already living in the desert. All that they had was what they could carry. I'm sure that each one of them didn't have five or six mirrors. Amen? So they're toting these polished mirrors through the desert. And the preacher says, I need your mirror. Well, Pastor, how am I going to know how I look? We'll let you know. And all the ladies laugh hilariously. See, this laver that holds water, the symbol of the Lord's Word, this bronze laver, the laver, bronze being the symbol of judgment, is a symbol of the Word of God. On the screen now you should see James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24. The book of James. James, a very straightforward guy. Very upfront in your face. He says, but be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. I got up this morning. Miss Ruth Ann and I were here until well after midnight last night. There were some adjustments made inside the sanctuary this week by the landlord and the other churches. And we did some updates on the computer system, and the computer simply would not connect to the projectors, no matter what we did. So we finally went home, got my programming computer, my powerful computer. We brought that back, plugged it in, and one worked. This one over here. And it didn't look good. And so we just prayed. We said, Lord, we got one projector for tomorrow so that our visitors who may not know the songs will be able to see that. But Lord, if you can just work it out to do a miracle. And I came in this morning, I told the praise team, please be in prayer. I called Pastor Carol and said, please be in prayer. Look at the screen. We simply plugged it in. So apparently God's up to some good work here. Amen? But if you look at that passage that we were just talking about, Scripture reflects back at us exactly what we are and exactly how we are living. The reason people get offended with what's with the Bible is not because the Bible is saying anything wrong. It's simply telling them that what they're doing is right or wrong. That's the entire issue. And so Scripture reflects back at us, and this labor symbolizes the Word of God. But think about it. While the bronze speaks of the judgment, specifically the bronze mirrors that this was made from, talk about reflection, reflecting back, and revelation. Have you ever thought you looked fine and then looked in the mirror and you had a revelation? And all the lady said. Have you ever gone to the mall, sat there and looked at the passersby and said, apparently they don't own mirrors in their home? And all the lady said. Why am I going to such lengths about this? When I read the Bible, I see what I am reflected back at me. And what's reflected back says that I am under judgment for my actions, for the way that I live. The bronze laver symbolizes the Word of God that reveals us, the Word of God that judges us. But now here's something that's so good. I'm gonna lift you guys back up here, okay? I'm going to stop talking about what dirty sinners we all are. But it also speaks of the Word of God that cleanses. It cleanses us. But we will never be cleansed until we've been revealed and judged. It'll never be cleansed until it's revealed and the revelation comes to us. First, here's the process. First we're revealed, then we're judged, and then the result, if we accept Jesus Christ, is that we are cleansed of all the issues that are revealed to us. Now notice in verse 18 it says, "You shall put water in it." In the Bible, once again, water is a picture of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, mark this in your margin. Ephesians 5, 26 says that He, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. The Word of God is to my spirit what water is to my body. It cleanses my heart because it is His Word. I don't need the words of man. You don't need the words of man. You don't need the words of Pastor Larry Brister each Sunday morning. You need to hear the Word of God. You need to come here expecting to hear from the Lord. It cleanses us. Preacher, you mean that you can get saved simply by reading the Bible? Amen. Psalm 19 verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord," meaning the Word of God, "the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony," meaning once again, what the law is telling us. "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." You can take someone that doesn't know a whole lot about much, read the Word of God, and they become wise. There's wisdom to be found within the Word of God. And just as water cleansed those priests back then, the Word of God cleanses us today. The bronze from the mirrors represents the Word of God that reveals and judges our sin. But thankfully, it is also the Word of God that cleanses us from our sin. Put that all together, and the laver speaks of the sanctifying power of the Word of God. Sanctification is that part of us that is getting cleaner as we go through life. We come to the Lord and we're brand new Christians. I love brand new Christians. They're like barbarians. They don't know anything. They have zero tact. They'll just go out and blurt out to somebody, "You're going to hell if you don't get Jesus." And people get all offended by it. "Well, let me go see what that pastor's got to say about all that." And then they by the way, who knows more lost people than a brand new Christian? Nobody. All of us have been all saved. We've been in church most of our lives. We've got a bunch of Christian friends. We may go to our Christian job or a Christian school or whatever. Brand new Christians have the most lost friends. Invite them to church. Let them come see how good the law of the Lord is when they truly read it and get it revealed. So first, we saw the parts of the laver. Next, we see the placement of the laver. The placement. In verse 18, it says that it's right there. Verse 18, it says, "You shall make a laver of bronze with its base also of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting," in other words, where the church service is. Think about that. Put it between where the church service is and where the altar of sacrifice is. Right in between. Okay? Before you can enter into where the service takes place, you had to wash. If a priest tried to go into the place of service without washing, what does the Scripture say the result was? Death. They had an order to their church service. First the altar. First the altar. Then the laver. Then the holy place. First the altar. You come by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the laver, the washing of the Word of God. Then, the holy place. When we come into our sanctuary, we start our church service each and every Sunday. We come in here and we come to the altar, the sacrifice of praise. We sing about Jesus and we sing about the cross and Christ crucified. We never forget the sacrifice of Christ when we sing our songs and our hymns. And then before we begin the service, before it actually begins, Pastor Larry reads from the Word of God. And we get that embedded. And then we move on with the service. The explaining, the testimony of the Word of God. We learn that we've been reconciled by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are to be sanctified by the Word of God. The altar comes first, which handles the reconciliation of sin. But then the laver, the sanctifying Word of God. Hang with me, folks, you'll love this. You see, we come to the cross, the place of sacrifice, but we don't stay there. We come to the place of sacrifice, we don't stay there. Christians, you must be washed in the Word of God. It's not just enough to give your heart to Jesus and get saved. You must continue on day by day in the Word of God. It's the next logical step. Read your Bibles. If nothing else, just to keep an eye on me. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. The problem is that so many people get saved in the modern church and nobody implores them to read their Bibles. They come to church and all of the scriptures are on the screens. They don't have Bible reading plans. You go to the Sunday school or you listen to the message and there might be a quote from a part of a verse and then there's a story about it. That's not what we are here for. We're not here for stories. We're not here for worldly things. We're here from the Word of God. Amen? All right, so first we saw the parts of the labor. Then the placement of the labor. Third, we see the preparation of the labor. In verses 19 through 21, if you look at that, it says, "For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and feet and water from it." It talks about when they go in, each and every time they must be washed. Over and over and over again, the Bible tells us the place where we get the words of God are in the Word of Life, His Scripture. That's where we get the Word of God from. You see, before I came here to preach this morning, I washed at the laver. I spent time in my Bible this morning. Before Jamie and the praise team can sing on Sunday morning, they must wash daily at the laver, the Word of God. Before our Sunday school teachers can give their lesson to your children, they must stop by the laver and wash in the Word of God. And remember, the laver is right between the altar of sacrifice and the place of service. You could not come by the sacrifice, bypass the laver, and just go into the service. Folks, our Bibles should be found daily in our lives. I know I'm beating the drum here. But you're not going to get the full measure. You're not going to get the richness of the Christian life without reading your Bibles. Because I'm here to tell you right now, if the only Bible that you get, if the only Bible that our Hispanic congregation gets down the hall comes from the pastor on Sunday morning, then Houston, we've got a problem. So please get more into the Word of God. It is God's love letter to you. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, these priests, as they ministered, would stop and wash their hands, wash their feet. God had commanded them under penalty of death to only enter after washing in the laver, after cleansing themselves. So, how do you spend your time at the labor? How much? Do you just open your Bible and dive in? Because that's it. That's the secret. Well, Pastor, where do I start? Open it up and read it. Pastor, which translation? Find one that reads nice that you like to read and choose that one. I happen to preach from the New King James Version. I think it's settling to the church that when you come each week that the pastor's preaching from the same translation all the time. And if there's something that needs to be explained, that's my job. And if I don't do a good job of that, please see me after service. And I'll blame Miss Ruth Ann. Just kidding, honey. Moving on. So, ministry people, listen to me, ministry people, if you're not spending time washing every day at the labor, then your ministry will be a ministry of death, not of life. It will be a ministry of death. Do you want your ministry to bear fruit? It will never succeed apart from the Word of God. Now, you ready for something humorous from the Word of God? Did you know when a person went into the priesthood, they brought them to the door of the tabernacle and gave them a ceremonial bath? Flip back a page, Exodus chapter 29, verse 4. Exodus chapter 29, verse 4. If you're there, say amen. And Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. Now, I want you to understand, please, that the English language doesn't do this justice. Okay? In the original language, there's different words for wash. This means wash, as in bath, as in no clothes. That's just what you want to see out there in the front of the church, right? The pastor being scrubbed down with no clothes on. That's something you can't unsee. You know, that gets burned into your retina. But this washing had nothing to do with the laver. Okay? That washing had nothing to do with that laver. Because that washing symbolizes that they're consecrated to the service of the Lord. It's like when you get saved, you get one washing from head to toe. You are washed in the blood of Christ from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. And it happens once. You are forever saved. However, here's the thing, is as those priests moved around doing their duties, they would walk around and they're walking in their sandaled feet in the dust and the dirt. And so before they went into the service, they were required to wash, and they were involved with the sacrifices, they were required to wash their hands and wash their feet before they entered the place of God. How does that bear witness to us these days? Listen, when we get saved, we're bathed all over. When God saved me, I was made righteously clean from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet in the eyes of God. I confessed with my mouth, I believed in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And since I come through Jesus, I was born again. On the screen, you should see a passage of Titus chapter 3, verse 5. It says, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. We are regenerated. We are washed by God. So just as those Old Testament priests were washed that one time in the door of the tabernacle, I was washed. I was sanctified. I was made whole and clean, once and for all, forever saved. But when they walked around, they got their feet dirty. They got their hands dirty. Not only that, there's seven pieces of furniture in the sanctuary, in the tabernacle. There are no chairs. No place to sit down. I suspect if we did that here, there would be a lot less high heels going on. Or the service would have to be shorter. So there is no way that the priest, when he was doing ministry work, could sit and get his feet off the ground. But listen, what he was doing in that tabernacle, with all the symbolism of Christ that is in there, that we've already talked about this morning. John 1:14 says that the Word was made flesh and tabernacled amongst us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, in the tabernacle, he is a new creature. We're sanctified. We're washed in the blood. But we live in a dirty world. We live in a dirty world. Literally covered in sin and corruption. We stop by the door of the altar and we were washed. We're glory-filled and heaven-bound, but we are travelers in an alien land. Therefore, we must constantly come through the Lord by the washing of His Word. And bathe because we're defiled by the things we see and hear and touch before we ever get to church. You know, you can't stand in a checkout line anymore at the store without being defiled by looking at what's on the magazine rack. You can't turn on a television without having some kind of filth spewed out at you in the commercials. Most people can't go to work without hearing the Lord's name blasphemed in their workplace, or someone making filthy suggestions or telling dirty jokes. What is God's text saying today? Folks, we may be in Christ, but we're walking on a dirty surface of this old world. And God is saying, Lord, once we get saved, that's the bath all over. But come to Jesus daily. Come to Him through the Word of God daily. Because we are defiled daily. Do you remember how the Lord Jesus taught us to pray? Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Now, still in that concept, and forgive us our sins. daily, because we need to be cleansed daily, sanctified by applying the Word of God. Now, John 13 tells us a story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. A very misunderstood story. I went into it in great depth this past Wednesday. It talks about that they sat down for the Passover meal. By the way, in the Passover meal of Christianity, who is the Passover lamb? The Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely. And it talks about Jesus is washing everyone's feet. And by the way, there were 12 disciples there, and Scripture says that He washed 12 pairs of feet. Even though He knew Judas was going to betray Him, He still served and washed Judas's feet. But He comes to Peter, and Peter says, no, don't be washing my feet, Lord. I want to say to Peter, you probably should wash them. You're about to stick them in your mouth. And the Lord says, listen, if I don't wash you all over, pardon me, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part in the rest of me, in the full washing. You got it? If you don't let me wash your feet, if you don't let me take care of what's happened this day, then truly you have no part in me. And what's Peter say? Wash me all over. Dunk me right now. That's what I need. You see, how does the Word of God save us? By pointing us to the Son of God. 1 John 1:9 says, If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to ask you today, don't you want to be cleansed of all unrighteousness? Don't you want to be clean in your heart before in the eyes of God? Do you wash in the Word of God daily? Or do you get all of your Scripture in church on Sunday? Is this morning, listen to me, church, everybody look up here. Is this morning the only Scripture that you've received all week? It's something to ruminate over in your heart. So, are your feet dirty? Or have you been in the Word of our great God to be cleansed? Because that's where the cleansing takes place. Maybe today is the day that you say, just perhaps, you know what? God is right. I should be a little more excited about reading His Word. I need to be more in the Word. Now, for those of you that have never made that step of believing in Jesus Christ, I want you to understand something. That there's a Word, many words, from the Word of God for you. See, deep down, if you don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, if you're sitting here in the sanctuary, you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, if you're watching on the internet this moment and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, if you're listening to a DVD or a CD later on and you fall into that, deep down you know that there is something wrong and that you need bathing from head to toe. But you're saying, Pastor, you don't know me. You don't know the things I've done. You don't know how bad I've been. You don't know, I don't know everything. Well, listen to what the Word of God says. Write this in your margin. This is an excellent passage to always remember to share with your friends. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 reads this. And the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit of God, and the Bride, which means the church, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. That means just as the Holy Spirit welcomes all to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we as a church should welcome anybody that walks through our doors to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let him who hears say, come. Now here's all that you need. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. People may say, Pastor, I'm not smart enough. It doesn't say you got to be smart. Pastor, I haven't read enough of the Bible yet. I don't understand everything. It doesn't say you have to have read the Bible or understand everything. Pastor, I'm a bad guy. You don't know what I've done in my life. The Bible doesn't say you need to get better. The Bible says, come, we'll make you better. You may say, you don't know all the sins I have in my life. I say to you, the same words that I said when I read these words about Paul. Paul said, of all the sinners, I am the greatest, the Apostle Paul. Based upon my life, Living Hope Church, I say Paul was a lightweight. Because there is nobody that can tell Pastor Larry Brister anything about the grace of God to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let whosoever will come and drink freely of the water of life. In just a moment, I'm going to come down front and we're going to pray and we're going to talk. For everyone in this sanctuary, I would like for you to take a moment just to walk up to the altar just for a moment or two and talk to the Lord. And say, Lord, this day I commit myself to be more in Your Word. If you have sore legs or sore feet or something, just stay where you're at and do the same thing. But lift yourself before our Heavenly Father and commit in Jesus' name to be more into the Word. I'll also be extending an invitation for anyone that has never asked Jesus Christ into their life but want to come this day. And if you are that person that this day you've said yes to Jesus Christ, I'll ask that you come put your hand in mine. I want to pray with you for just a moment. Whether you're a lady or a man, come pray. Come with me and I'll pray. If you're a lady, I'll have one of my ladies pray with you. Also, if you're... With all these things, I want you to know that there is grace and cleansing to be found in the house of God and in the Word of God. I end this message as I always do. May the grace of God the Father and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be made manifest in each of your lives here today. And all of God's children said, Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.